Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
I'll kick this off with a little welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle, and I'm a cool dad. And I am joined by the one, the only, everybody's favorite, the luchador, Rubber City Redbeard. What's up, dog?
The lucha beardo.
Lucha beardo. You are totally wearing a lucha mask right now, and it is wonderful.
Yeah,
I feel like way comfortable. I always felt comfortable talking with you, but now I'm like this.
Even more comfortable. You're like, what just happened? I don't even understand.
Like this is how you this is how you live.
This mask sits in front of me all the time when we do this. It's always here, but yeah, it sits up here on my desk.
Nice.
I wore this back in the day. This fucking mask on Halloween. Me and Big Joe dressed up as luchadors at the Voodoo when we were working there, and while a band was playing, he put me through a table.
No shit?
We started fighting each other, and then I jumped off this thing, and he caught me, and then he threw me up, and he spun me around and slammed me through a table. It's on video.
You didn't rig the table? It was just a straight
No, I totally rigged it.
Okay, cool.
Totally rigged it. I wasn't going to leave the metal part on there because I was like, oh, I'm going to break ribs. And I knew I'd break ribs, and I'm like, I gotta work. So no, I totally rigged the table. It snapped like it was awesome. Like when I went through it, the table folded on top of me. Like both halves were like, wah! So I'm just like under some table and shit, and I'm laughing. Like when I'm under the table, I'm laughing my ass off because it didn't hurt at all, and I thought it was hilarious. Big Joe thought I was hurt. So he freaked out and ran over and started ripping the table off me to see if I was okay. And I was like, motherfucker, you can't care about me or my enemy. We just got done wrestling. Now you're over here like, are you okay? No! Go over there. Be my enemy.
Dare you! Yeah, I haven't talked with you really since we last saw each other.
Yeah, the Caligo show.
The Caligos, they reunited to play a show.
It was good. Yeah. It was damn near sold out. I mean, if it wasn't sold out, I mean, it was packed. It was packed. I was when I got there, they said 40 at the door, and I said, nah, make it 50. Kind of give it a buffer because there's going to be people leaving. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I sold 53 at the door. So it was sold out.
Did you end with the total amount that you wanted it to end with
the cash in the box? No, because of the technical difficulties towards the end of the show when they couldn't get their fucking when they couldn't start on time and they had to fucking re-sound check, which sucked.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
One fucking other dude walked in. It was almost the most metal door I've ever worked at a metal show, and it would have been so appropriate. But yeah, the number in the box was 666, and I was like, oh! Nobody else can come through the door. But then one other guy came through, and I was like, God damn it! Fucked up.
It was almost the most metal fucking show
almost
of all time.
Almost the most metal door I've worked ever. Yeah, but it was a great metal show. It was like a fucking family reunion, dude. It was a sold out show. All the bands, people were throwing down for all the bands from My Life's Burden all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And Not one fight. Not one problem. A blonde girl that was fucking pissed off because I told her she was old. I made her look. My job is to like make people happy when they walk in the door, and sometimes I inadvertently piss people off, and it's usually females. Yeah, it was a group of blonde girls that came in, and you know, IDs, and the one girl was like, like it was such a bother to pull her ID out, right? And she just couldn't believe she was getting ID'd. So all her friends are like, oh, she's 30. And I was like, oh, I still need to see it. So everybody shows me their IDs, and she didn't pull hers out. And I was like, can I see your ID? And she gave me the face again, like, oh, my God, I'm so annoyed and bothered by you needing to do your job. So I check her ID and shit, and I was like, all right, damn, here you go, old lady. And she looked at me like, and all her friends gasped. Too, like I called her a cunt, which I didn't do, should have, but just, and she gets this look on her face like she's so fucking offended that I just called her an old lady, and she's like, I'll snatch you the fuck up. And I was like, you ain't gonna do shit but go in here and have a good time. Here's your ID. And I put the wristband on her. I said, go have a fucking drink. And they all walked away. She was kind of angry. So I called her, oh, but look, man, I want to ask you for your ID. And then you look so bothered that I'm asking you for your ID because it's so obvious that you're 21. Well, you're fucking old looking then, right? Is that what you're saying about yourself, is that you're fucking old looking? So then when I call you an old lady after you just called yourself an old lady, I'm a fucking asshole somehow. Not. You're just old. Mad at me because your vagina's drying up early, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, man, Caligo, it happened. It officially happened, and we, your boys, we got a shout out. We got a shout out at the end of the. They pointed out that we were a podcast.
I don't think anybody heard it though.
No, it's because he was like, keep it going.
He was like, hey, these guys are doing stuff. They do stuff, man. It's not really important. So have a good night.
Peace out. We're Caligo. We're the best. Woo. Yeah.
I mean, all the bands were really fucking good.
Dude,
everybody sounded good.
It was my favorite Etched in Pain set for sure. Like seeing Etched in Pain in front of that many people after all these years, right? And knowing that they've been working their asses off to make sure that they had a solid set for that show. I mean, they've been rehearsing at the fucking at the Outpost, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah. I mean, they've been working their asses off since that show, like since they got asked to be on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, or since they got on the show. Yeah, just working their asses off. Promoting the show, selling tickets. Like, those dudes were driving to people's houses to sell tickets.
Yeah!
And just practicing their asses off. And they haven't done it in fucking years, over a decade. And, you know, when they were a band years and years and years ago, Jared wasn't such a healthy dude, and now he is. So it was good to see him healthy and, you know, got his head on his shoulders and just be able to work a crowd. He did really good, you know. Shorty fucking sounded good. All those guys.
Right?
Robbed it, Citrone.
I like me some Nick Citrone. The fucking Party, dude. It was my first time ever seeing the Party live.
Oh, they crush. It's ridiculous how good those guys are.
They're one of my favorite bands just in general. Like the song Get Nasty, I think my son and I, like, we listen to that like 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, it's such a banger of a song, dude. It's such a banger of a song.
My son, yeah, live, those guys kill it, man.
My son, he bought a shirt from the Party and wore it to school. And that, like, led to this.
And they were like, you gotta turn that inside out. We know what that is.
That's what I was like, are they gonna do that? Because it was a picture making fun of Donald Trump.
Oh, which one? I don't think I've seen the shirt.
Yeah, it says Make America Party Again on the back. And the front of it just says The Party, and it's Donald Trump all making like a face, holding a microphone like he's screaming.
Aww. The microphone. I would have bought one of those. I didn't even know those were over there. I was at the door.
Working.
Because I'm a door guy. Hey, go be by the door. It sounded good from the side for a while. I heard it sounded great out front though. Like I didn't get, I heard it was loud as shit, and the lights were apparently blinding people left and right, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Dude, that stage looks great with those fucking lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, the party fucking brought it. My Life's Burden sounded good.
Curse Them crushed it, dude. This is my second time seeing Curse Them. They played the Hate Theory show, too, right?
Mark Merchant is a pimp.
100%.
Drew is a monster. I love that band.
The thing that excited me the most about the Caligo show was it was the very first local show that my 12-year-old kid, Evan, dude, that Evan got to go to. Like, he's been to shows before. He's seen Weird Al a couple times, KRS-One, Green Jelly, Alice Cooper, but he's never experienced a show, you know, like that. And then on top of it, since there were so many people that we knew there, like, Jessica and I got to look cool for a fucking difference.
Now he knows that you guys had a life at one point.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell it weirds about a little
bit. Right before him, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So when did you guys stop doing this every week?
About the time you were alive.
Found out we were having a baby. Yeah. Kind of decided to ease up a little bit there. But he, man, he had such a good time. He loved all the bands. Absolutely thought Caligo was fucking killer. And
he got to experience it like a legit old school Northeastern Ohio metal show, like what we were used to, because that show was absolutely reminiscent of what we used to fucking live every weekend, 2-3 times a week.
Right.
You know, so good on him for getting to go to that show. And, you know, good on you guys for, you know, being the parents to take him. What was his take on it?
It was the best night of his life. Is how he put it.
How old is he? He's like 13, right?
He's 12. Yeah, he's going 12, on 13.
Yeah, 12 years.
And yeah,
best night in 12 years. It's
not bad. It's not bad. I mean, he went to WrestleMania. This was better than WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was better than WrestleMania. Caligo is better than WrestleMania.
He's known Dylan since he was a baby. Right, but he's never seen Dylan perform. He's met Bobby Clark a handful of times, and he's heard about how much I love seeing Bobby Clark perform, and he's listened to Fully Consumed because I'm his dad. And so he got to see Bobby perform for the first time, got to see, you know, the Tyler and Finner do their thing, because, you know, I've played Smut songs before. I'm still that old school guy when it comes to listening to shit. And just the whole overall experience. And then he fell in love with the party a few weeks ago. He saw the Party Like a Kennedy lyric video.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is awesome. I go, they're playing the Caligo show. And so he was just like, mind blown, right? And when he got to see him live, Doug from the band The Party.
Yeah, Doug Wright. With his pretty hair.
Doug made a comment about his shirt, like, nice shirt. And Evan legitimately goes, the guy from the party just liked my shirt. he was just like, oh my God, can you believe this? And I was like, oh my God, like being, cause I'm an old guy now. I don't go out to shows like I used to, right. You know what I mean? Like in fact, I didn't go to shows for fucking years up until we started doing the podcast. And then that's when I was like, I was hearing everything from you and of course I used the internet to get all of my music. And it kind of brought that back out of me of like, man, I want to go see more of these bands. I want to go see the Burn Blue Skies or the Foul Spirits, right? Like, see what Jeff's doing nowadays and shit. And I just kind of fell right back in love with it. And to see my kid, you know, going through that, I'm like
falling in love with it.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is what it's about. Because like, if you can't get the kids into it, heavy metal is not going to last another 20 fucking years.
I agree. 100%.
It's not going to last another 20 fucking years. It's not for me anymore. I'm going to listen to the same shit that I grew up on.
You know, the Evan Eagles and the Jordan Clarks of the future.
Yes. You know? Yes. It was really cool because the party's one of those bands. You know, we've both been putting over the party quite a bit lately with a good reason. Like, they're one of those bands that I'm like, if I was 15 and I saw this band for the very first time, like, that would be it. I would just, I would, that'd be my first tattoo. You know what I mean?
If the party was the party in the late 1990s, early 2000s, in this music scene, they would have been fucking crushing everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they, those guys would have been fucking ripping through some shit. They're just seasoned guys. They, you know.
And their song, like, they're actual song fucking writers, which, you know, you don't always get.
But I think they're, you know, they're still, like, legitimate fans of music and shit. So they don't ever stop, you know, improving and growing and shit. Because they're still legit fans. They're not so caught up in their own shit that they don't know shit. But yeah, I mean, dude, yeah, Evan just fucking, he loved everybody. Like, he loved everybody. My friend Jimmy just wanted to, he kept trying to get him in the pit. And Evan's like, I kept thinking about it. Kept thinking about it. Thinking about pit. And I was like, you're 12. No, not yet. You don't want that yet. Yeah.
I was like, you wait. You gotta wait. You gotta wait.
My nephew's first, he was 15 years old, and it was Slayer and Lamb of God and Mastodon and Children of Bodom. That was like his first show.
Ooh, shit.
Right, and his first pit. So I told, but he, look, 15 years old, he was benching like 250 pounds. And he was like my height. You know what I mean? He was a full-size kid.
Yeah.
So physically, he was okay. So I told him, I said, just bring your mouthpiece. I said, you play football, right? He goes, yeah. I said, bring your mouth guard. He goes, all right. And then he understood what I meant. And that kid fucking had a great time. But at 12, no.
No.
No, he would have got hurt at 12.
I think
at 15, he was fucking shit up.
Like, there was a couple times where I was like, you'd be able to do it for like 30 seconds with the, because you know how the pit will, it'll shift in its energy, right? Oh, and yeah, you know where the songs are going, and people were starting to kind of, they were getting worn out. Because, I mean, it was older people pitting, so people were getting gassed.
Everybody's in their 30s now.
People were getting, it was kind of funny watching some people fake pit. Like, hey, remember when we used to kind of do this? Push you. But don't push me back for real. Don't fucking do that for real.
I got to work tomorrow. And
I got to work tomorrow, dude. No, I was just saying, like, remember we used to do this for real? There was a few moments like that. But there was also some people who were like, this is fucking happening for real right now. It's like,
okay. I mean, from what I could see, the pit was quite active all night.
Yeah, dude. It was fucking lovely.
I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to, but I know better. I know better. And then people were coming to me like they would talk to me earlier. Oh, you gonna get in there? No, I'm fucking old. You're not old. You can still do it. Like, no, I can't. I'm fucking old, man. Like, no. And then they're like 10 years younger than me. And then they come to me after the show talking about, oh, dude, I totally see what you mean now. You know? Oh my god, I'm gonna hurt for days.
Did you see our homeboy Henry? You see Henry, like,
yes!
he got fucked up.
He's the one that came up to me like, dude, I'm totally didn't think that I'm old now.
I felt so fucking bad. Henry, right before Etched in Pain's going on, right? He's like, hey, do you want to pull the other end of the curtain? Etched in Pain's doing this thing where they got a curtain. And he was like, it's hi-hat, boom, we pull the curtain down. Can you handle it? I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I can handle that shit, right?
I totally. Can count. 1, 2, 3, boom, got you.
I went, took a piss, went and had a cigarette, fucking come back in, and then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, what do I hear? I hear the first fucking hi-hat. And I'm all the way in the back of the room. And so in my head, I'm like, oh shit, they're going to have a Spinal Tap moment. Henry thinks that I'm on the other side of this curtain about to pull this down, but it's going to go down half mass because
I'm fucking everything up now.
And so I start charging through people and it fucking happened so quick, like bing, bing, boom. And then the curtain went all the way down and I just stopped and turned around with my head down, like fucking just held in shame. I was like, oh, now I got to apologize to Henry. I didn't think about it. I forgot.
You had one job.
That was what was said to me all night from every. And they were just like, one job. All you had to do was pull down that curtain on the boom. I was so disappointed.
Why didn't you just have Big Joe do it? Big Joe was already over there.
Maybe Big Joe did do it. I don't know. Somebody did it. So props to them. Apologies to Henry. I felt like such a douche. I was like avoiding him for like a little bit. I saw him at one point and I was like, no, not yet. I'll just wait. And then I saw him with the elbow and I was like, oh, I got to go talk to him now. So that elbow, huh? Did that happen pulling down the curtain by yourself? You know another band that I think is going to be good for the future? I think Black the Sun. They're one of those bands that I think is going to transcend because they're young. They're kids themselves, right?
Yeah, young guys. Same thing with Sweaty Mammoth, though. You know what I mean? Those guys are like riff-wise and the music that they make is so beyond their age, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're young dudes, too. They're definitely... These are the bands that are carrying the torch of shit that's worth listening to.
Yeah. Because it's been kind of stagnant for a while, right? Like,
well, just everything kind of goes in one direction and then everything sounds like that.
Right.
Everybody's trying to be one thing because that's what's popular and making money right now and touring, and everybody wants to tour and make money and be popular, so then they do that one thing, and then it's the people that don't do the one thing that are, you know, just bangers.
Yeah.
You know? They don't give a fuck about making it, quote-unquote making it and shit. And they know that they can tour in a fucking truck. They don't need a bus. They don't need a RV. They just fucking tore in a shitty van. These young kids today have too high of expectations. These young kids.
These young kids.
Little young roustabouts.
Right. That's the word.
It's the new one.
Roustabouts.
Listen here, you little roustabouts.
Raise your hand if you like American bitches. Locked in girl-on-girl kisses. Well, I do.
Man, I put a post up about the Bloodhound Gang on
Is there news about them or something? What are they doing?
Nothing. They're still doing nothing. It was just like my every 2 month reminder that the Bloodhound Gang's still the greatest of all time, and Jimmy Papa Lee's like the most underrated MC in the rap game, right? And I got a comment just a little bit ago, and it, for some reason it riled me up about how Bloodhound Gang's music hasn't aged well for like today's like, you know, society and the climate. They put out an album 3 years ago that's just as fucking funny and offensive as anything else they've ever done. Yeah. And I'm like, man, I think that's what I like about the Bloodhound Gang so much.
This whole, you know, like, can't do this and that, and blah, blah.
Yeah. I gotta say this, that Jimmy Papa Lee has a history of doing things, and as a lyricist, it's a thing that I've taken from a lot, is he likes to play asshole characters, like different characters in songs.
Right.
And he sings from, like the lowest of the lows perspective. So the jokes that he's saying, he's really making fun of people that say the things that he says.
Right.
So right. He's making fun of them, but people take it like, you can't say that. He has a song called My Dad Says That's for Pussy.
Fuck guns and roses without slash. A real man never uses hair product unless he's black. Toilet paper is for queers. Gargling after a blowjob is how they make light beer.
You didn't say that. Tell me you didn't just say that.
I was just saying, it just drives me nuts the fact that, you know, that they could be seen as offensive or it's not proper for today's times, where I'm like, right. It's always been a joke. Like, the whole thing's always been a joke. He's playing an asshole. Like, Gwar was not a band. They didn't really do the things that they said that they did.
Neither did NWA.
They hold the fucking mirror up to society, man. Like, that's...
You don't like what you see.
There's assholes. Their last album, the last Bloodhound Gang record, has an amazing song on it where they basically I want to say they're slut shaming, but they're saying, hey, don't give your kittens away for free to creeps like me. Where he's like, any girl that would want to fuck me because I'm a rock star is like not the greatest chick. But lyrically, it's fucking killer. Like, he talks about a girl banging her head in his lap like she's listening to Slayer.
Some fanner, hey, nanner, nanner's getting hammered sore like a scene from a porno flick. It seems that the more hardcore my scheme, she's keen on banging her head like Slayer's playing in my lap till she looks like she's doing a Got Milk ad. Sounds bad, but believe me, any girl this easy's had more bands in her than CBGBs. If she needs me to meet her need, she needs to stay awake, as her legs are the only thing that's open this late. But what kind of a slut would want to sleep with me? You gotta be fucked up to want to sleep with me. When she gets her panties lower than her self-esteem, I'll show her what her mommy did that made her daddy leave. Ask not what your husband do for you. Ask what you can do for your
son. Right? So, it's like, and it's fucking amazing. It's great shit. They're great. I can't believe that somebody would bring up the fact that,
I don't know if that stuff is good for nowadays.
I mean, it's good for any days if you're not a fucking offended little shit.
I don't know if jokes are allowed nowadays. I don't know if we can have jokes in songs because somebody might be sensitive. And it's like, you do kind of get to a point where you go, I understand that, you know, like, I'm not going to tell any tasteless jokes, but I'm going to tell some funny fucking jokes. Like, why are funny jokes off the fucking table?
Why are funny jokes off the fucking table now, too? That's bullshit. There's a difference.
Don't stifle my funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes don't stifle my funny.
Sometimes I'm just trying to make a motherfucker laugh.
I said this a little bit ago, that it's like, you know, you don't know if the pasta's done until you actually throw it against the wall to see if it sticks. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
You don't know if a joke works until you fucking say it. You gotta fucking get it out of your mouth. And if it works, it works. If not, you go back to the drawing board and kind of fucking hang your head if it's a real bad one. But
right.
How many unzingers do you throw? Like, an unzinger is a real bad one.
Well,
see, how many of those do you throw? I'm making that up, by the way. I don't know what an unzinger is. I like saying it, though.
Well, this kind of ties in with me being trying to be cool dad lately. I took my son out today. We went record shopping, and we had to go to the grocery store to pick up diapers. My wife found out that we were going to the grocery store to pick up diapers, and she was like, "Can you pick me up some tampons?" Right? So, me...
You're like, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, sure. But I'm with my 12-year-old son, so it's father and son going to get tampons, right? And so Evan's kind of like, he's embarrassed about the whole thing. But then when we get there, I just start making the joke about, I was just like, so should we take this to the self-checkout, or should we go ring this up? And Evan's like, do you want to go ring this up with an actual cashier? And I was like, well, I mean, which one's funnier? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Evan, straight away, he decided to see if something would stick. And up on the wall, it's giant on the wall, it said, don't forget your annual checkup. And he said, don't forget your anal checkup. And then, sure as shit, like fucking perfect timing, there's these weird like underwear thing that they sell across from the tampons in Giant Eagle, right, for like dudes. And the guy has like his hand behind his back, and Evan's like, that dude's giving himself an anal checkup. And I was just like, I was like, that's gold. A lot of Slim stickers from Lousy Weather Media. I saw them all over the place at the Outpost because it's the dollar sign S.
They were stuck somewhere.
They were sticking on the bathroom walls.
Really?
Yeah, it's dollar sign S and then Lim, and I'm like, that's Slim, like that's Andrew from Lousy Weather Media by Main Show.
Don't make me fuck you up for putting stickers everywhere.
Finish him.
I'm playing, by the way. Put your stickers wherever you want.
Nice. What, have you spoken with the band Twisted Asylum?
I know that. You posted that picture, and I fucking was laughing my ass off because that's like every time I walk by that shit, I'm just like, that's fucking. Like, that says a lot about the people that follow you. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool, man. You guys are, yeah, hey, but. Your fans are fucking not smart.
They don't know how to spell.
At all. Which sucks. It really sucks because it's right. Like, merch was really close to that.
Yeah.
Looked at your merch and knew how to spell it, or the sign on the building. Maybe one of the fucking scrims on stage. I don't know.
They grab a Sharpie, a fucking permanent marker. And it's like TWS. And somebody had to go, they had to stop them right there. Or they would have continued. Be like, TWSDDUHZLUM. It's like, no. But they crossed it out. They crossed out TWS and just like, I'll start over. Fuck it.
They didn't even draw like a cool, like some skulls over it or
no.
Nothing.
No.
Like, they could have kind of drawn a dick by it. Anything to cover it. You just fucking put a straight line through them. Like, that never happened. It did. I can see it. I can see that it happened.
And then like right across the way, there's some, like they did it again. Like they wrote Twisted Asylum again. I was like, You're just writing all over the place in the marker in the name of a band.
Yeah. Good going, Twisted Asylum fan. You're a winner.
You can't spell for shit.
But you won.
I'm gonna ride in a winner freak tonight. Hope to God I don't have
have to pull a heat tonight. Gonna light up a note, cause I'm a nigga for life. Hustlers got the shit that'll keep you high.
Since heavy metal is about the children's and it is about the future, this band,
I believe the children are future.
They're a newer band. They formed in like 2016. They haven't really played out a whole lot, but man, dude, if they aren't fucking musically tight as fuck, if their shit isn't fucking good, we have the CD. We got a free CD that they were giving away at the show. They opened up for Caligo. Even features a member of Caligo.
What?
Mr. Drew Simon, the most beautiful, the most beautiful man in the world. He's beautiful. That kid has not aged.
He's the most beautiful band out of the most beautiful person in that band. Only because he still literally looks like he's a teenager. The only reason you can tell he's not a teenager is if he grows a little scruff on his face. But then I want to slap it off him. Like, quit it. Too pretty for that.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I would never grow facial hair. We're talking about Curse Them.
Yeah! They played second
that night, yeah.
That night, yeah. After My Life's Burden.
And they fucking tore it up, dude.
Yeah. Again, you know, Mark Merchant. That dude's... He's a really good dude. His beard's better than mine now. It's better than mine now. Because mine's short and shit. And his is all cool and stylish and metal.
Yeah.
And he looks cooler than me, and he plays stuff. Whatever, Mark, you get cool points.
Cool.
they fucking rip it. They fucking rip it. And they need
their singer was having he had to rock out. with fucking he like fucked his arm up at work or some shit.
What?
Yeah, because that's why he had the fucking the sling on his arm and shit. And then I thought about it, and I don't think it's the right arm, but like I have a sling that I printed for my nephew when my nephew broke his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Lamb of God sling. But it's like screen printed. It's like a custom screen printed Lamb of God sling. I should have did it on both sides. I only printed it on one side. So you can only wear it on one side, you know. But I was like, oh, how cool would it have been if I would have known I could have let that fucker wear it.
Right?
They fucking killed it that night, though. That band is so good. And a newer band, which is nice, because that means they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. They're pretty great. Great enough to be Badass Band of the Week. How about that?
Ooh-wee!
They really do. They were great at the Hate Theory show. They were great at the Caligo show. They fucking got the crowd going. Play more shows. If anybody at Curse Them is listening to this podcast, which I'm assuming there's five of you, I'm assuming all five of you are listening right now, together in a room,
holding hands,
looking at each other like, they're talking about us! They're talking about us! The coolest podcast! The coolest podcast in the world is talking about us! We are.
You should be excited that we're talking about you.
Congratulations, Curse Them.
To you for knowing us.
You guys are a badass band. And in fact, you're the Badass Band of the Week. So we're going to play some Curse Them. We're going to be back soon with another episode from season 2 of Keeping It 99. Go like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the shit. Tell all of your friends about this podcast. Because...
Curse Them on Facebook and go like Curse Them on Facebook and then go to their fucking Bandcamp and get their shit.
Yeah, it's
so I'm sure they're on Bandcamp. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say they're on Bandcamp. I don't know for sure. Go get it.
Or email them at cursethemband@gmail.com. Just do it. Just email and be like, hey, your band.
Mail system.
I like your band. Who doesn't like getting emails? Who doesn't like it? So here's some Curse Them. We'll be back. We'll be back next time. Till then, my name's Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard. God damn it! I was reading something.
Bye.
Thanks.
That was great.
Turn on your program. Hey,
It's been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
That's my fucking tit, bitch. Get the fuck out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.